Good morning. What a privilege to be here together as we've been reminded, freely meeting like this. And as we thought last Sunday morning about the persecuted church, and we're reminded that so many of them do not have these freedoms. Might we never take these things for granted? Might we always be thankful, primarily to God, but also to those who have served to keep our freedoms. I'm very thankful for the men and women that were up here before us. One of the brothers, as he walked by, reminded me, and I appreciated that. We also need to remember those who were left behind, those wives, husbands, children, grandchildren sometimes, parents who were left behind as their loved ones went off into military service, and we are very, very thankful for that. We're talking about another battle today. We started talking about it two Sunday mornings ago as we're looking at the book of Galatians, and I'll invite you to turn back to chapter 5, the book of Galatians. We're looking at this as the theme of being gospel-centered, and we're focusing on the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that salvation, both for eternity and in this life, are available only through the Lord Jesus, the one who is Lord of all, the one who we desire in our hearts to crown with many crowns. And we're looking at this battle that's going on that Paul is so clearly portraying for us in the last half of this fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. And my heart has been stirred studying this and just living life and living life alongside of you and others, and being reminded of the terrible battle that is going on. Every one of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I know there is a war going on within you, because we're going to read about it in this passage this morning. So I know that what we're talking about is directly relevant to everyone in this room who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Excuse me, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, then we invite you, if this makes any sense, we invite you into the battle. Because I think that everyone who knows the Lord Jesus would say, though the battle sometimes is fierce, though sometimes in the battle I am so discouraged, I am so frustrated, I feel like I am on the verge of defeat so often, and yet I would never change that. Not for one moment. Not for one moment would I ever give up the battle if it meant that I had to give up the Lord Jesus. And I hope that you feel that way this morning as we gather together and we look at this fierce battle that we find here in verse 17 of Galatians chapter 5. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There is a battle going on. It's not the only battle. It's not the only spiritual battle. But it's the one that we're addressing here, because it's where we are in the book of Galatians as we're working our way through. And on one side of the battlefield, we have the flesh. That tendency within every human being, saved or unsaved, a tendency toward sin. Some have called it the self-life. The self-life. That's the flesh. That's who we are in Adam, our forefather. The one that was placed in a perfect environment and yet chose to rebel against God, and therefore led every one of us in rebellion, into rebellion, and each of us have inherited a nature within us, within our flesh, within our humanness, that desires to do what we want to do. But then if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, there's another side of the battlefield. And on that side of the battlefield is none other than God the Holy Spirit. You couldn't get probably any more different in the two combatants in this battle. God the Holy Spirit. The one who comes to live within every believer at the very moment that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether or not you feel any different or look any different, or even at that moment sound any different. Yet the Spirit of God, God Himself, has come to live within the very body of the believer, the same body that houses the flesh, the self-life, also houses the Spirit of God living within us. And between them is ongoing a fierce battle. How important it is that we have victory. And it's so important that God has given us intelligence. We have gospel intel for our battle. Information of military value. God has collected, as it were, through Paul, through his pen, he has collected for us some information, has analyzed it, and has given it to us. And we're looking at four pieces, four vital pieces of the gospel intel that should be applied in our battle. And last time we looked at this one in verses 13 to 15, we're to secure the strategic base of operations. And we saw that liberty can be employed to either help others or hurt others. We talked about love. And now today we're picking up at verse 16. Verse 16. And if you'll follow along, and we will just go ahead and read through the end of the chapter and come back and begin to unpack some thoughts here on this intel that God has given to us. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's look at this second vital piece of gospel intel for our battle that we see in verses 16 to 18. It's to refuse to negotiate or compromise. Refuse to negotiate or compromise. In the aftermath of 9/11, the United States issued a series of demands to the Taliban. They were the ruling leaders in Afghanistan. The Taliban refused to meet the demands, but they offered to enter into talks, to enter into negotiations. The United States government refused to negotiate with the Taliban. We are to refuse to negotiate with the flesh. Look at the verses again there. Let's read them one more time. Verses 16 to 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, the desires, the goals of the flesh and the Spirit are at odds with one another. There is no mutual agreement between them. There can be no mutual agreement between the Spirit and the flesh. You see, this battle that's going on is a perpetual battle. This battle will not end until you are out of this body, until you are with the Lord Jesus, either through death or the rapture. And until that moment, there will be a battle going on. It's a perpetual battle. And the flesh is a terrorist. I'm sure you've heard that little phrase, we don't negotiate with terrorists. And I agree with that. I agree with that philosophy. We don't negotiate with a terrorist. Why? Because a terrorist is not really wanting to compromise. No, they only want their goals to be fulfilled. And if you give them a little bit of room, they're going to move into that space, and then they're going to continue in some form or fashion to terrorize their opponents so that they might again enter into negotiations that they might get a little more space. That's exactly what the flesh is trying to do in your life. Exactly what the flesh is trying to do. It's trying to get a little more space in you to fulfill its desires. The flesh wants to be fulfilled. The interesting thing about the flesh, though, we talk about the flesh wanting to be satisfied, but you know what? The flesh is never satisfied. Maybe for a moment. Maybe for a moment of pleasure, the flesh finds satisfaction, but that desire just increases as time goes on. The desires of the Spirit of God are at complete odds with that. And we're going to see that when we move down into verses 19 through 23. We're going to see just how at odds they are. And don't forget this either. The flesh never improves. Your flesh will never get better. Your flesh will never be any better than it is right now. It will never be any better than it ever has been. You see, who we are in Adam, that tendency towards sin within us does not get better in itself. The only hope we have is for the Spirit on the other side of the battlefield to have the victory. And as the Spirit of God has the victory over the flesh, then the flesh isn't any better, but it can be defeated. Because greater is He that's in you, the Spirit of God, than he that's in the world. The flesh will never be eradicated in this life. November the 11th, that's 11-11, by the way, of 18. Not 2018, that's today, right? But 1918, at the 11th hour, Paris time, World War I, the fighting ended. It would be another 6 months before they could actually get the treaty together that would officially end the war. But the fighting ended based on the treaty that was signed on 11-11 at the 11th hour. You know, you can't sign any treaties with the flesh. The flesh is a liar. The flesh may say, okay, I give in. Flesh doesn't give in. The flesh comes back to fight another day. But it's interesting that we find here at the end of verse 17 that because the flesh is lusting, desiring against the Spirit, and the Spirit is lusting, desiring against the flesh, as a result of this and the contrary nature, the adversarial nature of these two combatants, we do not do the things that we wish. What does that mean? Well, I think it means both ways. Because the flesh is fighting against the Spirit, we have a battle to do what the Spirit of God wants us to do. But thankfully also, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, We're not able just to go out and to embrace and fulfill the flesh, praise God, and do that without the conviction of the Holy Spirit who lives within us and who is grieved by our sinfulness against God. We can't do the things we wish. There's a battle going on within us, and that battle can be so frustrating. If we're satisfying the flesh, we're not satisfying the Spirit. If we're satisfying the Spirit, praise God, we're not satisfying the flesh. You see, you can't negotiate with the flesh if you try it. And many of us have tried to do that. It will always lead to compromise, and that compromise will always lead to defeat. Don't negotiate with a terrorist. The flesh. What does Paul say as he begins this section, verse 16? I say then, he's coming out of this idea of taking that strategic base of operations and seeking to love our neighbor as ourselves and to serve one another and to not bite and devour one another, verse 15, not to be consumed by one another. How do we avoid doing that? How do we avoid living a life of selfishness? How do we avoid the self-life taking control? Here's how we do it. We walk in the Spirit. You're probably saying, hey, Mark, I'm glad you told me that. That's great. Can we go home now? I'm going to go off and walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, when we find the walk in Scripture, we know that it speaks of a lifestyle, the way that we live our lives. It's a step-by-step thing, one step at a time. That's how you walk, right? If you ask me right now, what are you doing, Mark? I'm walking. You say, you're not walking, you're standing still. You know, when you're walking, you're always moving. There's one step after the other step. In your life, you are going through your life one second at a time. Whether you think you're going to stop your life for a few moments, we'd like to do that sometimes, but it's not reality, is it? No, we're to keep that progress going, and we're doing so in the Spirit, in the atmosphere, as it were, of the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, that means we're walking in the power, in the enablement of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is not within you to take a vacation. That's not why He's there. No, He's there to be active and to work. And God is omnipresent. All of God is everywhere at the same time. And He is in every believer, manifesting His presence in a unique way in the life of every truly born-again follower of the Lord Jesus. And He is there among His many ministries, many things that the Spirit of God is there to do within you. And one of those things is to empower you, to give you the ability to take the next step of faith, to be obedient for the next step, to do the things that God has created you to do. Do the things that God is living within you in order to enable you to do. The Spirit of God is providing the power. We read in the book of Philippians chapter 2 that it is God who is working in you, in us who know the Lord Jesus, both to have the desire to please Him, and also the ability both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is within you, the Spirit of God within you. That new life within you that you may desire to do the things of the Spirit of God. That you may allow Galatians 2:20 to let that life of the Lord Jesus that is within you, that's within me, to actually be lived out 24/7. Not just when we're here together singing and praying and looking into the Word of God, but every minute when you go to work, when you get back in that car on your way home, when in your house relating to those who are closest to you, when you're dealing with customers, when you're dealing with your employer, when you're dealing with people in the grocery store and at the gas station and on the ball field, And as you interact with others, God is wanting you to be walking in the Spirit. He said that's the only way you'll have that victory. It's the only way the life of the Lord Jesus will come through. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. But I still live, but it's not me, it's Christ living in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Paul writes this regarding the Spirit of God and the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's where their focus is. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I plug in to the power of the Holy Spirit? How many times have you tried to cut on an appliance, cut on your computer, and it wouldn't come up? What's wrong with this thing? Oh, forgot to plug it in. My battery's dead. We've got to be plugged in. How do we do that? One way is where our minds are. Those who are living according to the flesh, those who are walking in the flesh, they have their minds, Romans 8, 5, on the things of the flesh. We read about them in that list, some of them. But those who live according to the Spirit, Romans 8, 5 says, have their minds, have their focus on the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? The Spirit of God wants you to look at the Lord Jesus, the one that we sang about, crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. You see, the Lamb upon His throne is the same one who is wanting to live His life out through you. And the Spirit of God wants us to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus. You know, we have a wonderful opportunity in this local church every Sunday morning at 9:30. We have a wonderful opportunity. We come together for an hour, and for the first 50 minutes of that hour, our attention is on the Lord Jesus. We come together to remember Him. He told us to do that in 1 Corinthians 11, to take the bread and the cup, and we come together and we sing songs about Him, and we share scriptures about Him, and we pray to His Father about Him, and we just enjoy the Lord Jesus together. That's a wonderful way to focus your attention on the Lamb of God. But you can't stay in the Lord's Supper all week. You got to go to work. You got to do things at home. You got to take care of your family. You got to take care of your house and your car and your yard. But we're not to take our mind off the Lord Jesus. We're to focus on Him. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and says, here's the Son of God right here. Every day as we're in the Word of God, I hope you're in the Word of God every day. I look out there and I assume everybody in here, they're reading God's Word every day. I could be wrong. There have been times that I've sat out there and I wasn't reading the Word of God every day. But maybe you're not reading the Word of God every day. That's our lifeline, our food. We're hearing the Word of God and we're reading the Word of God, and it's coming within us, and the Spirit of God is showing us our own lives, but also He's showing us the life of the Son of God, that we can focus our attention on Him and on the things that He desires for us to do. They're in the Scripture. And sometimes we read and we say, that's too hard. When you say that's too hard, the next thing you say is, praise God, that's too hard. I can't do it. So thankfully, it's no longer I, Galatians 2:20, but it's Christ who lives in me. And I want Him to live His life through me. Lord, I cannot do it. It's too hard. I've tried. And He says, you're at the right place. You see your weakness. And God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. We've got to acknowledge that. But then we've also got to read the Scripture and see the power of God that is working in us. We find that in the book of Ephesians, Paul prayed about it, that the very power that raised the Lord Jesus out of the deadness of that grave into new life is the same power this working in you. The very power that took the Lord Jesus not only out of the grave, but actually ascended Him to the right hand of the Father in heaven. That is the very power working in your life. Is that amazing? And you might say, I don't feel that power. I don't feel any power. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I've got to believe what God said. And I've got to step out in faith. And God said that His power is at work in me. Do I believe that or do I not believe that? I need to take Him at His word and to step out in obedience and say, God, You tell me to do this and I don't think I can do it. But I'm going to step out and I'm going to seek to obey by Your power in me. And I'm going to focus on Your Son. And I know I got to think about these other things, but I want Him to be there in all of that. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I don't want to. The Spirit of God within me is causing me to not want to do what the flesh wants to do. How can I avail myself of that power? I got to put on the Lord Jesus like I'm putting on my clothes. Put Him on. Put Him on consciously. Lord, I want the Lord Jesus within me. I want Him to be all over me. And when you wear something, people look and they say, oh yeah, did you see that guy? He was wearing the red shirt. You know, the one that I'm talking about. He was there. Good looking guy. You know, with the red shirt on. How do they see me? How do they see you? Do they see the Lord Jesus? I need to put Him on. Put Him on. One more verse here. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises. Now, the promises at the end of chapter 6 is that He will be our God and we will be His children. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want to live a life of holiness. I've got to have that attitude of reverence to God, of a recognition of who God is and all of His power and all of His glory and who He is. How do I find that out? I go again into the Word of God and I ask the Spirit of God to teach me, to show me. And then as I do that, I see what Paul goes on to write in verse 18. But if you were led by the Spirit, you were not under the law. You know, we've been talking about the law all through the book of Galatians, the rules that God gave to the nation of Israel. And there were people who were coming in to these churches in the area of Galatia, and they were saying that you've got to keep the law that God gave through Moses to the people of Israel, if you're really going to be right before God, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus and you've got to add this to it. And if you want to be holy, if you want to live a life of holiness, then you've got to follow these rules. You've got to get the checklist going. But you know what I think we see right here? That the law, when it's misused, the law and the flesh are allies against us. You see, the law of God was never given to us as a rule of life. Well, we've seen already that the law of God is used as a mirror to show us our inability to please God in our own strength. And it's given to point us to the Lord Jesus, the one who is our strength. And the one who will live out the pleasure and heart of God through our lives if we will allow Him to do that. So it's not a matter of being under the law. Rather, it's a matter of allowing the Lord Jesus to live out through us that love that God has shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us, Romans chapter 5. To be led by the Spirit is to be guided by the Spirit. I think that primarily that's going to come as we spend time in the Word of God and we wash our minds in the Word of God and we are focusing our attention on the things of God and we are allowing the Word of God to dwell in us richly, as we see in Colossians chapter 3. And as we do that, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He leads us. I think that's the primary leading of the Word of God. Not some weird feeling that tells me I'm supposed to do something. And I'm not saying that God, the Holy Spirit, He can use a weird feeling if He wants to. But if you live your life by weird feelings, you're going to be confused most of the time. But if you're in the Word of God and you're taking it in, and you may say, I don't really even understand half of what I'm reading, a tenth of what I'm reading. You keep reading the Word of God and growing and asking God the Holy Spirit to teach you. Or asking God the Father through God the Son to use the Spirit of God to work within you, to lead you, to guide you. And then follow Him. Because I can guarantee you that the Spirit of God will never negotiate with the flesh. He will never compromise with the flesh. So if you were following Him, if you're going the way that He's directing you to go, then you won't negotiate with the flesh. You won't compromise with the flesh. You'll realize that the flesh is an enemy that must be defeated. Rather than allowing the law of God, and if you try to keep the law of God, if you put yourself under the law of God, as these people were trying to do, and Paul rebukes them for trying to put themselves back under the law. When you put yourself under the law, what you're asking the law to do is provoke the flesh in you. Paul said, I didn't even know what it meant not to envy until the law said, don't envy. And if I try to use the law of God as a rule of life, I'm asking for the flesh to use that against me. Rather, what do? My desire is to honor the Lord Jesus because I love Him. That's what I want my heart to be. And if you could look within my heart, that's what I want you to be able to see. That I'm responding in love and appreciation to God. God, I'll do anything You want me to do. I don't have to have a set of rules. Now, that's not that we don't have commands. We have plenty of commands that we're to follow. But we want to do that out of appreciation. What does the Lord Jesus say? If you love Me, keep My commandments. If you love Me. He wants us to obey out of love. There is a duty there. But He wants us to obey out of love. That's His desire. That's a key. As we said last time, verse 22, the tip of the spear, of the fruit of the Spirit, is love. It's love. If you're seeking to be under the law, you won't follow the Spirit. If you're seeking to be under the Spirit, you won't follow the law. You see, the law leads us to follow in our own strength with the motive of gaining acceptance with God. The Spirit of God leads us to follow the Lord Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit with the motive of expressing appreciation back to God. Don't secretly negotiate with the flesh. There's a lot of secret negotiations probably going on in our world today between governments. We don't even know about it. Probably a lot of it we don't want to know about. But you know, there's probably a lot of secret negotiations going on in this room between the flesh and the Spirit. Say, well, I've tried and have victory, so I'm just going to kind of control this flesh area and try to let the Spirit have most of the victory. No, that's not what God wants. That's not what He wants. Here, let's sum it up like this. Consistently following the guidance of the Holy Spirit is the only path to consistent victory. If you're like me, it's not that you've never experienced victory in your Christian life. You have. But what you want is consistent victory. That's what you're wanting, probably. That's what I want. I don't want to just be victorious sometimes. I want to be victorious all the time. And the Spirit of God is living within me, and He is not hindered in His own strength. No, He's only hindered by me. as I allow the flesh to have that victory. And I try to do it on my own strength rather than yielding to God and acknowledging to Him. And as we were reading back in 2 Corinthians, I wanted to make that point there. As we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, I confess those things. God, I failed You. God, I look at this list of the works of the flesh, and God, I see this in me. I see it in my mind. I see it in my heart. Lord, I confess that to You. I want to be cleansed from that. And I thank You that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Are you willing to consistently follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to acknowledge that you can't do it on your own, that you don't know the best, that God knows the best, that He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's living inside of you. He's living inside of me. And He's stronger than the flesh. Well, let's move on and get started with this next one, if we could. In verses 19 to 23, here's the third piece of gospel intel for your battle. Identify the combatants carefully. Identify the combatants carefully. You know, I've been out to the Guilford Battleground, and I've watched a reenactment of the Battle of Guilford Courthouse. How many of you have seen that? You ever gone out there and seen that battle? You know, that's like the craziest thing I've ever seen. Here's the good guys on one side and the bad guys on the other side. And they all stand there and look at each other. And I don't know if somebody counts or what, but then they pull their guns up and shoot. I'm thinking, man, who came up with this idea about doing war? That's like crazy to me, you know. And so anyway, we got past that, thankfully. And you know, one of the tactics of modern warfare that's used often is that idea of guerrilla warfare. And they come in and in smaller groups, and they attack here and they attack there. And another thing that sometimes is used, even though this is technically against the Geneva Convention, is that they'll put on the uniform of the other side. And they'll try to slip in. They'll try to slip in to do battle. And I think as believers, that occurs sometimes in our own lives. And we need to be careful to identify the flesh and to identify the spirit, the two combatants. And they're recognized, they're identified by their tracks, by the results they leave behind. And we're not going to get very far in this. We've got about 2 minutes left. But I just want us to get started because I want you to think about this in relation to what we've just been talking about. Look here in verses 19 to 21. We've got what we're going to call the flesh works. Products manufactured in life when the flesh, when the self-life, when I am in control. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. They wear a uniform, but sometimes they try to disguise themselves. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And we're going to go in and dig into those more in a couple of weeks when we get back here into this gospel intel for our battle. But we see there that they're obvious. The thing is not so obvious is that many of these things don't occur outwardly. And we can't see them. And other people can't see them in us. Because they're going on in here and they're going on in here and we're hiding those things. But you see, they're still dangerous. They're dangerous when they're working in us. Because they are not going to be satisfied with that little bit of space. They're going to work their way till they can impact relationships. They can impact lifestyle. They can impact our fellowship with the Lord Jesus and even with one another. Our flesh is deceptive in itself. This world that we live in is deceptive. The devil who's behind it all, he's a liar and a deceiver. And if we're not careful, we'll lose perspective. But I want us to end just by reading through the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what God is wanting to show forth in your life. This is the character of the Lord Jesus. These are the Spirit fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And next time we look at this, we're gonna carefully identify these combatants, and we're gonna look and we're gonna see not only how different they are, but how, if we're not careful, the flesh works can deceive us into thinking that we're following the Spirit of God when we're really not. But for now, we'll end here, and the challenge is our brother comes and plays the verse. Or a song. He's going to play for us a number, a verse, or a chorus. I just want you to really focus on this idea of refusing to negotiate or compromise. And I want you to, in the quietness of this moment, to examine your heart and say, hey, have I been compromising with the flesh? Have I been thinking that there's no way to have victory and I've just given up and given in? And if so, that you'll call out to God, that you'll recognize, as I'm recognizing in myself, our own failure, our own weakness, but God's desire to give us the victory as we walk in the Spirit. If we don't walk in the Spirit, we're not going to have victory over the flesh. We're going to lose. The flesh is strong. But we can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together in your word this morning. Lord, there's so much there. Father, it's piercing to our hearts, to the depths of who we are. We want that victory, Lord. We don't want to negotiate. We don't want to compromise. We know that leads to defeat, Lord. We confess. We've listened to the lies of Satan. Father, we know we're weak in ourselves. Father, please help us to see that our strength, your strength, is made perfect in our weakness, and your strength becomes our strength, and you will enable us to say no to the flesh and yes to your Holy Spirit. May we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, I pray for each one here this morning. You know the needs of our lives. Father, I pray for any who don't know you personally through the Lord Jesus, that you will convict them of their sin, that they will be willing to embrace the Lord Jesus by faith and be made new creations in Christ and enter into the battle and experience the joy of victory through the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.